Chapter 7. Dystrophy. Given thought, it speaks for itself. Dys, separation from. Trophy, nutrition and growth. It means halted growth. We sometimes call it arrested development. To borrow an illustration, a condition of growth is good only if it occurs at the right time. At bud time, the perfection of the bud is good and full of promise. If at blossom time, the perfection of the bud remains, the promise is faded. At fruiting time, the perfect bud means the promise has failed. 3-year-old perfection in a child of 3 is excellent. The same 3-year-old perfection at 6 is disturbing. At 16, it would be disastrous. If nothing happens to recommence growth, the man will always be a child. He may wear a large overcoat and a bowler hat, but inwardly he is still in reins. The development which could have brought him to full manhood has been arrested. The muscles have grown, but the mind has not. This happens to the soul. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 5 spoke to some who ought to have been teachers, but were still pupils, living on milk instead of solid food, babes instead of full-grown men, whose senses were unexercised and whose discernment was weak. At Corinth, there were disciples whose spiritual anabolism could not permit the taking of meat, to the dismay of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 3. Footnote, anabolism, the process in a living organism or living cell by which nutritive material is built up into living matter, Oxford Dictionary. Symptoms. Think of the symptoms. Sometimes an abnormal preoccupation with the fundamentals of the truth, which constantly asks for the reassurance about their certainty, an almost morbid interest in difficulties, or the opinion of supposed experts on this question or that. Let not these sentences be misunderstood. The fundamentals are vital as a foundation upon which to build, or as roots through which the tree draws its strength to grow. They ought never to be the source of doubt or disquiet. Constantly digging up trees to examine the root system tends to hamper growth. Another symptom is a naivety about the harmlessness of worldly forces, which to discerning men are spiritually dangerous. Another is the tendency to refer to the truth as though in some way detached from it, to talk of being baptized into the movement instead of into the fellowship of the redeemed, to speak of the ecclesia as you instead of us, with a readiness to shed responsibility for the corporate life of the meeting, a lack of desire to communicate to the unsaved the word of salvation, an unconcern about old habits and an unwillingness to burn old bridges. Causes. Sometimes the symptoms reveal the causes. One of the causes of soul dystrophy is lack of conviction. Growth presupposes life, and where faith is weak, the life is atrophied. It is having the ethic without the dynamic. People in this condition tend to take their convictions secondhand, believing something because someone else believes it. It never works. One man's grace is not sufficient for two. A man's conversion must be his own, else it will fail him at last. Mere consent is not the same as positive conviction. Another cause is carnality, the fostering of some indulgence which ought to be repudiated. The cause of the Corinthian dystrophy was given by Paul in these words, "For ye are yet carnal." Sin condoned, excused, justified, paralyzes the power to grow. In the letter to the Hebrews, growing men were those who could discern the good and reject the evil. Poor health comes from wrong living, too often. The belly is filled with husks, but the spirit is starved. Another cause is lack of love, love for the truth's sake, love for God's other children, love for ruined men in need of redemption. Paul says, "Love never faileth," and the verbs he uses are so revealing. Love beareth, believeth, hopeth, and endureth. A life lived within the compass of these forces is a life of growth, and where they are not is dystrophy. Ponder the forces which can end dystrophy and restore development. This is not achieved by the human will, for no man by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature. Given life and health, growth is a divinely natural thing. It is not enlargement from without like a snowball rolling down a hill. It is enlargement from within, as an apple develops and matures on a tree. Paul says that the forces are available to promote growth. Unto each one of us was grace given, that we, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 15, RV. Where the soul is yielded to these forces, the forces of grace, the growth will be into the likeness of Christ, an approximation to his character. The forces of grace are the means of life. The means of life, whether for soul or body, are unmistakable. Food, air, and exercise, of the right kind and in the right proportions. Food is the Word of God, read, pondered, and answered with regularity. Air is the right atmosphere in which to grow, namely that fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, which is achieved through prayer, a lifting of the mind and heart to the throne of the Most High God through the High Priest of the universe, in the secret place or in the marketplace, prayer as a habitual thing. Exercise is working for God's cause wherever it can be advanced, in the ecclesia, all the enterprises which teach his word, succor his children, hallow his name, in the world, taking all the opportunities to proclaim his purpose, halt the spread of corruption, and set his love on ruined men. Although growth is not achieved by the exercise of human will, human responsibility is to cooperate with the forces of grace for the realization of spiritual development, so the dystrophy may be ended and the new life revived and provoked, slowly at first, but surely at last. The method is clear. Discover the cause of the disease. Recognize it and shed it. Submit to the healing forces of the truth, and the scars will be obliterated. The lost years will be restored. The mildew will be halted. The promise of fruit will be realized.